All Indiana Politics
is your premier source for Indiana politics.
Focusing on issues that matter to you.
I still want us to be the best in the Midwest.
We can't afford another lockdown.
Give the citizens of this country the relief they need.
Education in the state of Indiana remains priority number one.
In-depth, nonpartisan coverage.
We don't know exactly where the economy will be in January.
People are worried with good reason.
Exclusive interviews with Indiana's political leaders.
We have the resources here in the state of Indiana to care for those who are in need.
Expert analysis on critical legislation.
We need to reform those laws.
This recovery is going to take some time.
We've got to anticipate that there'll be a budget shortfall.
From Wish TV, this is All Indiana Politics Podcast on the All Indiana Podcast Network.
Good morning, I'm Garrett Bergquist. Welcome to All Indiana Politics. We start with the monumental Supreme Court ruling on abortion and what happens now in Indiana. The court's conservative majority on Friday overturned Roe and Casey and declared that there is no constitutional right to an abortion in the United States. The court's opinion said the decision on abortion should be left to individual states. We start our coverage with Indiana Congresswoman Jackie Walarski.
This is a historic day. It's an answer to prayer for me. I've been involved for decades working for pro-life causes and for, you know, the right of every unborn to be born and to have the American dream. I mean, this is a historic day. You know, the march goes on for life at the state's levels now. And I would urge the state of Indiana to be, you know, very much out there to be one of the first states that's doing more to protect life and the sanctity of life. I just think that, you know, there are millions of people in this country that have just been praying and doing their part and everybody doing their part together. And I think what you see today is historic. I think this is monumental. I think, does this answer all the questions? And does this say that, you know, hey, no more fights and no more moving on? No, the March for Life goes on. The March for Life will still go on just now at the state level. So I'm thrilled. I couldn't be more thrilled. You know, when I got the phone call, actually, I was dumbfounded, even though I figured this is how the answer would come down, dumbfounded, because for something that you've worked for decades on in every kind of direction, I've worked at the state level, I've worked at the federal level in Congress, you know, moving lots of legislation in the pro-life categories and things like that, to actually see this happen today is just, it's just, you know, it's just an answer to prayer.
Holcomb has called lawmakers into session for next month. He says the Supreme Court's decision is clear, and it is now up to the states to address this important issue. We'll do that in short order in Indiana. I've already called the General Assembly back on July 6th, and I expect members to take up this matter as well. I've been clear in stating I am pro-life. We have an opportunity to make progress in protecting the sanctity of life, and that's exactly what we will do. Republican House Speaker Todd Houston says he also expects lawmakers will take action next month on abortion. Indiana Democrats say they plan to fight any such effort. Indianapolis City Council member Allie Brown shared a deeply personal account of how she very nearly lost her son in a high-risk pregnancy.
Dylan is the light of my life, and I am so grateful to the doctors at Riley and at Methodist who saved his life and mine. But because of this pregnancy, I have learned that I have a condition where I cannot count on the placenta to stay attached. And what that means is no matter how much Dill asks for a brother and sister, I cannot get pregnant again. Because there's a good chance I could lose my life. I want to be a mom again. I want to give Dill that sibling, but I can't. But now I have to give Dill the best mom that can be here, and that's one that's alive. If I get pregnant, even using contraception, which I was using when I got pregnant with him in the first place, I will have to leave the state to seek an abortion. And I will, because my child deserves a mother who's alive. I will do that. But there are so many women who won't. And I want to know that I come back to the state that I love, a state where 83% of people support my access to abortion. Abortion in the case of incest, in case of life of the mother, in case of rape, people support that access. Knowing that I could come back and become a felon with what these bills that they've been filing, and I cannot tell other women of the struggles that I went through and what they need to know. So I want to ask the Republicans these questions. Do you really want to force women to carry their rapist's child to term? Do you want to force a girl to carry a rapist's child to term? Do they want to tell young girls who've been raped by a family member that their uncle's baby is more important than their life? Do they want to tell women who choose to be mothers, who desperately want more children, that their lives aren't worth anything?
And another twist in the debate, Marion County Prosecutor Ryan Mears, a Democrat, says he will not file criminal charges against abortion providers or patients, even if lawmakers outlaw abortion.
It should not be a priority of the prosecutor's office or law enforcement to second-guess the decisions and choices made by healthcare professionals. Everybody here realizes that we have a number of challenges in Marion County. One of those challenges is not incarcerating doctors and nurses. I think as we just came out of a pandemic, all of us learned the importance of our healthcare providers, the contribution that they make to our community, and to now criminalize them for healthcare decisions that they make with patients is not something that the Marion County Prosecutor's Office needs to be involved in. It's not something that law enforcement needs to be involved in. And I think it's important that we send that message here today as we discuss what happened in Washington, D.C.
Coming up, the record gas prices and gasoline taxes in Indiana. The debate behind Governor Holcomb's plan for inflation relief. Next on All Indiana Politics.
Thought about podcasting? The All Indiana Podcast Network can help you create, produce, and distribute your podcast for businesses, churches, organizations, or just for fun. Get the details when you email contact@allindianapodcast.com.
Welcome back to All Indiana Politics as we turn now to gas prices and inflation. Next week, state lawmakers will also debate the governor's inflation relief package. Governor Holcomb wants the General Assembly to sign off on a second taxpayer rebate this year. This one would be worth $225 per taxpayer. Democrats want him to expand that or even follow President Biden's lead and call for a suspension of the state's taxes on gasoline.
Welcoming in Democratic State Representative Greg Porter to talk about the special session. Representative, the date is now set. We know you'll be back at the State House July 6th to consider the governor's initiative to try to help Indiana families deal with inflation, at least for the time being. What's your take on what he wants, new payments? Do they go far enough, and do they go to enough people?
Well, I think at this time, first of all, I'm glad that finally he has taken some initiative for us to move forward to try to get some payments to Hoosiers who are hurting is a good, significant step. But I think we need to do some other things in regards to taking care of all Hoosiers. The $225 will be very good at this point, but don't know when they will get those checks in the mail or into their checking accounts. I'm still trying to really push that we drop the excise taxes as well as the sales tax on gasoline, because I think those are things we can do immediately to help Hoosiers. There's a segment of our population that's being left out currently, those on that get Social Security and those Social Security supplements, as well as people that, who are disabled. So, you know, if we're going to help Hoosiers, we need to help all Hoosiers during this time.
I want to make sure I understand clearly. This has loosely been phrased as a payment for taxpayers, and in those certain circumstances, that may not cover the people that you just mentioned?
Right. In some circumstances, it may not cover those individuals. And remember, these taxes, we pay in arrears. So those individuals who pay taxes and who filed in 2021, they had to file for 2022 in order to receive that 225 or 125 or whatever is their status.
Is there a point at which, to look at this in another way, that this becomes not a way for people to bridge tough inflation, but rather more a stimulus package, which then goes back to questions we've been asking throughout the pandemic?
Well, I don't know if we want to call it another stimulus package. This is a way to help Hoosiers get through these hard times. Look, we have a practically $7 billion surplus. That's the bottom line. And we need to give those dollars back to the individuals who helped build that surplus. And that return is very important to help people get through these hard times at the pump, at the grocery stores, and in general with utility costs. I mean, I just took my utility bill this morning, and it's up. And so I'm going like, wow. So everything is going up, sir. So, you know, it's a way to give some relief to Hoosiers.
You mentioned a new look at gas taxes. As a leader in your party, you know well that the Republicans have been pretty unified in saying that's not going to happen. You also know that the president just called for states to do that, to at least put a holiday or timeout on their state taxes. Do you think that that creates an opportunity to bring that discussion back up again? Do you see any movement from Republicans possible on that?
Well, I will hope that Republicans will be open to it. However, you know, at this point, I think they have their mantra. And they're staying in that lane that they have created. I feel that it's important that we give those dollars back to have that meaningful conversation. I mean, and if we don't do that, we're neglecting Hoosiers. And that really bothers me. It's about the human infrastructure that we need to take care of here in our state. With the president and his initiative, I will hope that the leadership will say, okay, let's visit it some more and maybe come up with something that will have some common ground. And that's the whole issue here. You know, we propose some solutions to the problems, and they, for so many times, they fall on deaf ears.
Representative Greg Porter, thank you.
Thank you very much.
We welcome Kyle Huebner, the chairman of the Indiana GOP. Kyle, well, I wanted to get right to this. The governor has called for a special session for a tax rebate. Why the tax rebate when we are looking at record high gasoline tax right now?
Yeah, I think it's number one, the most fair way to do it. I mean, obviously some Hoosiers who have paid taxes into the state drive more, some drive less, some drive none. So this is a way that you know, everyone benefits equally from this. From the governor's plan. Second, there's really no way to know if you cut the gas tax whether Hoosiers are going to actually see that. You know, there's no way to kind of look through to the retailers, and as we see gas taxes fluctuating and gas prices fluctuating, you know, it's really hard to keep track of. And then finally, you know, for a married couple of two with kids, they have to go out and buy around 800 gallons of fuel to receive an equivalent benefit. So this is a much quicker and more efficient manner and fair manner to get dollars quickly into Hoosiers' pockets.
Republicans have been criticizing the federal government for the stimulus money and how that has driven up inflation. How is this any different?
Well, the big difference is that this is real money. This isn't money that's going to just be created by the federal government that is going to throw additional cash into a system. These are actual dollars that have been paid into the state by taxpayers that will be refunded to taxpayers. While there may be some minor impact, it's going to be negligible given the dollars amount. But these are real dollars, not an effort to just create dollars as the federal government has done in their programs.
Democrats would like to expand this rebate to people who are on Social Security. What's your answer?
You know, I think I don't know all the details of how they come up with the role of people who receive this payment, but I know during the last session that Governor Holcomb and the Republican leadership in the legislature greatly expanded the number of folks who would receive dollars back from the state to include folks who do not file tax returns, but otherwise are paying in by sales tax, et cetera. And so I think this is going to be a pretty inclusive group.
It feels like the governor has kind of pushed back the special session within the anticipation of the Supreme Court ruling. What's been the talk around the State House on how you think lawmakers are going to react to it?
Well, again, I think it's too early to tell. I mean, until you know what the ruling is, it's too early to tell how they'll react to it. But listen, we are a pro-life state. We have pro-life majorities in both the House and Senate. And I fully expect if opportunity is granted, as we just passed in our at our convention and our platform that Republicans support more stringent restrictions on abortion in the state of Indiana. And hopefully we get that opportunity from the Supreme Court to act on it.
Kyle, thank you for your time. Thank you for your time this morning. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Okay. Coming up, Indiana's best political team debates what happens after the Supreme Court's Dobbs decision. Next on All Indiana Politics. Welcome back to All Indiana Politics as we welcome back two members of Indiana's best political team, Republican Whitley Yates and Democrat Brian Gaddy. Whitley, we'll start with you. Republican leaders say they almost certainly will act on abortion in the special session. Should they act this quickly?
Absolutely, they should. I think that now that we see that the Supreme Court has overturned Roe v. Wade via the Dobbs decision, it is incumbent upon legislators to act on this decision to make sure that they're protecting the health and safety of all Hoosiers in Indiana. And not doing so, to me, honestly puts us in jeopardy in the current place and space that we occupy. And so absolutely, they should act. I think it's July 6th, I believe, in the session that's coming up, because to not do so, I think, could put safety and healthy of women in jeopardy.
Brian, we heard from Marion County Prosecutor Ryan Mears earlier saying that he would not prosecute any crimes if they were outlawed under any legislation coming out of the legislature. Is this shirking his responsibilities? He was elected to enforce the law.
I don't think it's shirking his, prosecutor Mears is shirking his responsibilities, because this decision that was handed down by SCOTUS today, I think is going to be among the worst decisions in the history of the Supreme Court of the United States. It's going to be in the same pantheon as Dred Scott, Plessy v. Ferguson, and now the Dobbs decision. Now, I know people may think that's over the top, but I don't think it is. This decision has actually codified American women into second-class citizenship, because we now have the highest court in the land that has said basically that women are not accorded the same rights as men, and that is to have full and complete autonomy over their bodies. Now, as a man, I don't have to worry about that, but Whitley, as a woman, now she does, and that's not right. Now, even though Whitley and I don't agree politically, I believe Whitley and I should be the same under the law. And I shouldn't be at one level because I'm a man and Whitley's a woman. I don't think that's right.
Ryan, you can't have abortions. What are you talking about? First off, Ryan Mears doesn't currently prosecute laws. He picks and chooses what he wants to prosecute, which is why we had the FedEx shooting, because he wasn't prosecuting red flags laws. So the fact that he's already made a statement that he's going to go against the Supreme Court and whatever ruling comes down from the state legislator, to me means he should be removed from office immediately. And maybe that could
actually help. No, he shouldn't be removed from office. That's just over the top.
That we're in. The truth is that the Constitution has never conferred the right to abortion. And that is the truth. And no matter what we want to make, no matter how you want to scare women.
Whitley, since we are on the topic of
scaring women,
Prosecutor Mears,
the Constitution doesn't have a right to privacy.
Whitley,
we do have a right to privacy.
Since we are on the topic of Prosecutor Mears, do you want to see Attorney General Todd Rokita step in this case if this happens?
Absolutely. If Ryan Mears has already created blanketed statements about what he is going to and not going to prosecute, that is an issue. He may need to be removed from office, because what we didn't do is
and he will not be removed from office, and that's just your usual grandstanding. You know he will not be removed from office. You know he won't.
Let's talk about respecting. Can we respect my rights to speak? Thank you. If Prosecutor Mears has already decided that he is not going to be prosecuting any types of these cases, whether or not the state legislator makes it against the law, then he should not be in a place or position to be our prosecutor if he is going to go against laws that are in place just off his own free will and volition. That's a political pawn, and that's not what he's in position to do.
Brian, what would Democrats' next steps be if Attorney General Rokita does step in a case like this?
I don't think Attorney General Rokita will step in, and I sure as heck don't think Prosecutor Mears should be removed from office. That's just the usual grandstanding from my esteemed colleague, Whitley Yates. She likes the grandstand. That's her style, but I get it. But the point is that women today have less rights today than they did yesterday. And that is not me fear-mongering. That's not me trying to scare Hoosier women or American women. That is just a fact. American women have less rights today than they did yesterday. This is the first time in the history of the United States Supreme Court where they have actually taken away.
Yeah, Brian, we're getting a little short on time here. I do want to ask one other follow-up. Is this something that will fire up voters enough that Democrats would be able to maintain the House and Senate? And you got about 15 seconds.
Absolutely. And I would say not only that, I think this decision is going to make a lot of Republican women start voting Democrat. And I can see states like Indiana and Ohio, because that's where my mother's family is originally from Cleveland. I can see states like Indiana, Ohio starting to become more purple and maybe even blue, because you're going to get a lot of suburban women that are not going to.
I'm afraid we're
going
to have to leave it there for time. Thank you for joining us. We will be back in a moment. We'll have to wrap it up for there for now. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you for joining us for All Indiana Politics. We'll be back here next Sunday morning at 9:30. We'll continue following that Supreme Court decision all this week. Have a great rest of your weekend.
From Wish TV, this is All Indiana Politics Podcast on the All Indiana Podcast Network. Watch All Indiana Politics live Sunday mornings at 9:30 on Wish TV and at wishtv.com. Subscribe to this podcast and listen weekly here on the All Indiana Podcast Network. And be sure to discover even more great podcasts at allindianapodcastnetwork.com.